God, we give you thanks. We thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence among us. And so we come together this day to worship you. We know that we're two or more gathered together in your name. You are in the midst of us. So come now, Holy Spirit, come with all of your quickening power. Come and be among us. Come and fill us. Come and revive us. Come, Holy Spirit, as we seek to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord God, take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are refuge and our fortress. You are Savior and our Lord. Amen and amen. I was just thinking and wondering for a moment, could you imagine if we had a church without children? Right? They make such a difference, don't they? Because, you know, we as adults, as grown-ups, we of ourselves, we can be boring and, you know, anxious and upset. You know, I don't think children get upset for days and days. Do you ever observe them? They have a little tiff and then next minute they're hugging and kissing the next one. Have you ever noticed that? Right? They just keep going, especially when they're young. You know, I guess it's a taught behavior that gets later on. But see how they put a little smile on our face in the mornings. Just a little thing that they say, one little thing, one little comment could just make your day, doesn't it, church? Put a smile on your face, lighten the day. There's so much pain and hurt that is going on in the world that I'm so glad we are a church that have some little children. Right? It would not be, I would be able to pastor without a church that has little children. It would be hard for me. Thanks be to God, that has never been the case wherever I've served. But there are churches without no children, right? So we pray for them, and we thank God for their parents and that bring them and the teachers that teach them. And certainly Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Right? Even Jesus knew the importance of children, right? And so we thank God for them. Some of them are shyer than other ones, but they're only shy when they're here. Because I know them all, not shy at all. But praises be to God. And so today my sermon title is A Different Kind of Fishing. A different kind of fishing. You know, there's a song in the Faith We Sing that says, will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Right? It's called the Psalms, as I said. Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and in me? And so the call of the Lord has always been, it has always been. And then at the very end it says, Lord, your summons echoes true. When you but call my name, let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Right? As they answer this summon, this call, will you come and follow me, and you know, celebrates how the Lord calls us by name so that his life can be grown in us. It's a way of living that involves taking up the cross and risk the hostile steer. We have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. It is a call to love in action, which liberates the captive and the blind, and which dares to kiss the leper clean. That's our call. It is a summons to self-discovery and to the faith that can conquer our inner fears. And the hymn ends in prayer. This is what the call is for all of us. For in responding to Christ's call to love in action, we move and live and grow in him and he in us. And I was thinking about that Christ calls, and we see from the gospel story that Jesus calls, right? Scripture tells us today in Matthew 4:12, 12 to 23, and just to pick up from verse 18, we see Jesus calls the first disciple. We saw that last week from John, and now here the writer of Matthew is telling us again. He says, as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left their net and followed him. Follow me, Jesus says. A command, isn't it? Follow me. I have three questions for us today. As I begin, I have three questions. Have you said yes to following Jesus? Have we said yes to following Jesus? And what does that mean for us to follow Jesus? Number two, is the gospel, which we call the good news, is it still good? Is it still good news? And number three, and if so, how do we tell folks about this good news? How do we tell folks about this good news? If it's still good news, friends, how do we tell folks about it? I remember, as I get to my reflection, I remembered when I worked in corporate. I worked at an ad agency, software firm. We did business for ad agencies, and I used to get off at 34th Street off the train, and then have to walk over to Madison. So you know Macy's Herald Square? I own part of Macy's Herald Square. I'm just telling you now, because I would get the call. There was a constant call at Macy's Herald Square. I was looking the other day for my Macy's card. You all have never seen that Macy's card. It is one of the old Macy's cars with the white and the green. And I tell you, I would get off at that store. They used to do. I don't think they do it anymore. We're talking, my daughter is grown. And I bought everything she ever wore in Macy's. So I'm telling you, I own Macy's. And I would get the call. And where would I get the call from? It would be on the news or in the newspaper. That's the call would be. Those days it wasn't so much on the phone. And they would have the one day sale. Do you remember those big one day sales? It's not like now when you got the Black Friday one. And they would be selling the bed in the bag. You know how many bed in the bag I bought? The bed in the bag where you'd get the comforter, the sheet, the pillowcase, the dust ruffle. Do you remember the bed in the bag they would... And I would go to Macy's, I'm supposed to get to work, you know what I'm saying? But I want to get there early before the other people come, get there, because then there's going to be a lot of crowd. And I'd get off the Penn Station there, and I would get to Macy's, I'm supposed to get to work, and I'd tell them I'm coming in late. And I got an emergency, I'm coming in. And I would go buy, you know, two bed and the best because you get them at half price. Do you see? But I know you all are perfect people. I wasn't perfect, then I became. I'm going on to perfection, you see. And I would get those. And when I got to work, I would be telling the folks the good news. The whole office, I'd be telling the good news, you see. The good news of what I had found. I'd be spreading the good news with such energy. You could hear the whole building, the men would be laughing. And I says, I'm going to be working late because I would have to work late to make up. Because I got, and everybody would know that I paid, you know, 10, 90, whatever it was. It used to be $99 or 99 cents. They'd never make it, $100, bed in the bed. I have had so many sets of comforters. Because the pull of the call would get me. And friends, as I get back to the scripture, I'm deviating, but to tell you, guess what I would do as Christian believers pray for me? I would not want my husband to see it because he would keep saying, how many beds do we have? So I would get there and I would hide it in the garage, hide it in plastic bags in the car. And when he would see it later on, he says, yeah, are these new? I said, no, baby, we have had it for years. Do you see what I'm saying? As I says, honey, this has been here by an outfit. And he says, that was given to me 4 years ago. God, thank you for forgiveness. So the call and the pull of things can make you do things you're not supposed to. Do you understand what I'm saying, believing Christians? I know you saints don't do those things. But I've got enough that could cover all of you. I've done my bit and my share. Because the call was important. Could you imagine if we would be so dedicated to spreading the good news, huh? If we were so committed to spreading the good news, me included, all of us, right? Theologian N.T. Wright, he writes, he says, imagine that you're sitting quietly in a cafe with a couple of friends when suddenly the door bursts open and in rushes a stranger with a wild, excited look on his face. Good news, he shouts. You'll never guess the greatest news you can imagine. What on earth can he be talking about? What could his good news be? And why does he think it justifies barging into the cafe and telling strangers about it? Here are three scenarios. Number one, perhaps the doctors just told him they had managed to cure his daughter of a disease that was killing her. That would be great news indeed, at least for his immediate family and friends. But it does not explain why he would announce it to strangers. Scenario number two. Perhaps he heard that the local football team, had won a great victory against their old rivals down the road. In some parts of my own country, the writer says, people would indeed celebrate such a thing as good news. Right? We know they're going to be celebrating on February 2nd. Though most fans probably wouldn't have been at the pub watching the game with him. Why leave the celebration to tell non-fans at the cafe of the good news? That would be good news to him. Scenario number three. Perhaps in a region with high unemployment and poverty, he just learned that people had discovered huge new reserves of coal, oil, or gas. Suddenly, there would be thousands of new jobs and a new start for everyone. I know places where that would cause otherwise quiet people to burst into a room and shout the news to everybody. That might justify such a dramatic announcement. N.T. Wright goes on to compare how each of these three scenarios is like the good news of the gospel. They're life-changing. In each scenario, the news isn't just something that has happened out of the blue. Like the gospel of Jesus, each scenario assumes a larger context. Right? The good news of Jesus is not just for me alone to know. It's not just for you alone to know. It assumes the larger context. That means it needs to be told to everybody. The good news. And the news is about something that has happened because of which everything will now be different, like the resurrection of Jesus. The good news is so important. It reminds us that something has happened that is different. That Jesus has been resurrected. And because he lives, we have the hope for eternal life with him. The good news. And third, in each scenario, the news introduces an intermediate period of waiting that is filled with hope. For instance, the child is still in the hospital, but her family is now waiting for her to get better. I believe that we can learn something precious from this story. We can learn something from these three scenarios. Because whenever time something is good for us, that we believe it's good news, we make every effort to pronounce it, to tell. Now what we do is we put it on social media, right? Because it's good news for us, isn't it? We go to church. I have been looking at social media a little bit more than normal because I have put up my own Facebook, which I never used to have, just for the church. And you don't see much with the church Facebook because people can't access it. They could read it. But on when you have your own Facebook page, you see all these things that people put up. I said to one pastor friend of mine, I says, "My Lord, every time I look, something pops up from you. When do you get any time to do anything else?" Right? Because people believe it's, people need to hear it. Whatever it is we have found, we want to tell it to somebody else. Now there's some good things on Facebook I've noticed. Some people have daily verses that pops up. One pastor, a friend of mine, she says, I says, "Every day you have something on, what, don't you get busy?" She says, "Oh, I set it," and she's got a daily verse for the morning and then one for the night and then another. Scripture verses. Some people put other things. We put articles because they believe it's news that people need to hear. Some people debate political things, religious things. Friends, I'm telling you, stay away from those. Don't debate because they think it's news to be heard. It's good news. The amount of time Christian believers, a lot of us, I have seen, and I said it to one, I won't call her name just in case, you never know what the Lord does and the person comes here to be a pastor in the future. So I won't. But anyway, because you'll all remember, they constantly put their food. Now I have put a little meal with my grandbaby over the holidays, but they, this person, if she have a cup of coffee, the coffee is on the Facebook. It's good news. If she has a piece of cake, it's on Facebook. They did quiche yesterday. I'm telling you, it pops up on my phone. Something quiche is on there because it needs to be told, they believe. Well, friends, as Christian believers, the only good news that we really should be spending so much time telling is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a different kind of fishing. Do you see? Right? There's a different kind of fishing we're doing now. In the gospel story, we see that Jesus called out of the 12 disciples, I believe 6 of them, or could have been, I think it's 6, were fishermen. Right? Not all of them were fishermen. We know that Matthew was a tax collector. But above the first set of disciples, you know, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and so on, and the Zebedee and so on, James, they were in the boat, their father's boat. They were fishermen, right? They were mending their nets, and there's something about casting out your net and bringing in a load. That is important to the process of making disciples. Right? Something important about that imagery, that Jesus would begin with fishermen. And they cast your net. Are we still casting our net? We are expected to cast, continue to cast our nets. Christian believers, it is not about us who like each other and know each other. We come to church and we sit together, or we sit in rooms and we have coffee and tea and we talk. It's all good. It's all good because those fishermen would talk to each other and so on the boat. It is about finding new ways to cast our nets. Cast our nets. You know, cast, I know folks may think I'm a little bit nuts. We're a little church here trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I am myself trying to find new ways to tell people about Jesus. Right? I'm on Facebook with the church, for the church, to tell somebody. I don't know who God is going to tell and show. I can't tell the end result, but I know that God is faithful. God is, and every time one of you come on Facebook something for the church, and I notice you got lots more friends than I do, I don't, you know, on Facebook, I'll see somebody who likes our stuff, and it says they have 20 friends, right? It tells you 20. It's good news, because guess what? Just one of those friends that you have, 27, 28, may just see a word from the Lord on our Facebook page and need to hear from the Lord. Using new ways to cast our net, because that is what is expected of us. How many people in here are going to get up and take tracks and go out and walk and give it out? People are not doing that in this community. Certainly are not, but there are new ways. And then the other day I set up my little YouTube channel. And I was trying to figure out, I set up a YouTube email. Ricky's laughing, but I couldn't get it up. I couldn't figure it out. And then I said to Sky, you know, it keeps erroring out. But I'd missed the little point. So now I'm putting things, now I figured it out. Sky came in. The young people, they know everything. Trust me. 2 minutes, he says, no, you need to, Pastor, you have to go in and tell it something. And so now I am uploading it to YouTube. And it's not about notoriety. I really don't care if people get to know me. It's not like they're going to. It is to hear about the good news of Jesus, that someone will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I don't care if they ever know me, but that they know Jesus. And they get to know our church. First, that they get to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. First, I'm the one who can help them. And then they get to know, they're here. And I always invite people, if you're in this community, if you're here, to come and worship with us. Amen. To come to our church. Using things to do a different kind of fishing. Right? Different kind of fishing. Casting the net. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. He said to them, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. That word hasn't changed. How do we fish for people now? Right? We've got to reach beyond all the church doors. We've got to reach beyond the church doors. We've got to throw the doors open, not just for people to come in, throw the doors open for we to go out. Amen. We have to throw the doors open so that we step out into the world and figure ways to do it. It is not, listen, this is a gorgeous, we have done, God has blessed us to do a good job here in maintaining this building. It is well maintained, right? It's clean and it looks lovely and we have done things and we could keep preparing it and making it better and better. We could pick up every piece of paper off the ground. We could do, if there's nobody here to worship the Lord, and it will be of naught. If there's nobody here to worship God, none of this, all this clean, all this beauty, beautiful singing, beautiful preaching, beautiful kids, none of it will be worth anything. It will just be an empty building. And we have got to find new ways to make disciples, to go forth. And friends, I want to just close with saying a couple of things more. That God is speaking to us today. And I think what is lacking in many of our lives sometimes is our passion for Christ has been weakened, or it has become rote. Right? When our relationship with Christ has become rote, we're just doing the same thing. We need to what? Get an infusion. You know what I do in the mornings? Because I always go to bed late. I don't, even though I says I got to go to bed at 11:30, I watch the news. I'm just going in it. But then I have to get up and come here early. But you know what I found? Somebody, I was talking to someone, and they told me about emergency. Right? Emergency. It's a vitamin C. So I find that when I get up in the Sunday mornings or every morning, I make a cup of tea and I put the emergency vitamin C, but it's in powder form. It gives me, it rejuvenates. I feel, you know, my energy by within an hour or so because it's the C, vitamin C that I need. I think we all need a shot of vitamin C. A shot of our spiritual life needs a shot of vitamin C. Right? It needs so that if we have been a Christian all our life and sometimes we just keep going and doing and going and doing and nothing is changing, we need to cry out to God and says, God, use me. Show me what you must do. And yes, it doesn't mean that you may go out on the street, but it may mean that you can think about ways that we can do something to invite people in. It is no longer the job of the pastor. The pastor is one person. Together, we could put our thoughts and our energy together to do great for God together. Right? Isn't that what we need to do? That's what it means. And the psalmist reminds us, we should be like the psalmist says. The psalmist, when David, this is called a triumphant song of confidence. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Friends, the Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? We don't have to fear what people say outside. We don't have to fear if they say, look at those Jesus people. Isn't it better to say we are Jesus people than some other people? Right? That we could tell people about Jesus. This says, the Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We don't have to be afraid. We are the Church of Jesus Christ and we live in the United States of America. We have the freedom to worship God. Thanks be to God. And we are fighting to keep it that way here. We are the fighting to lift up the banner of Christ. We have the freedom to do that. A pastor in Nigeria was just killed, right, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They beheaded him. And then they beheaded four school teachers in Kenya for the gospel of Jesus Christ. All they wanted to do was to preach Jesus and him crucified. And yet we sit back and we think we get comfy and we get fine fault and we carry on and we have got the freedom to come up with new ideas and new thoughts and new things to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what he has called us to do. It's to spread the gospel. We spread it through our gifts and our graces, what God has blessed us with. The psalmist says here, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. The Lord will walk with us. Friends, I am encouraging you during this year to think. Ask the Lord to give you new ideas. All of you are not like me. You're not like the next person. We're all different. We will spread the gospel in different ways, but if together we could think of some things to do more on the outside and what to do, because friends, keeping church the way church is not going to keep this church going forever. forever, I am telling you. It's not going to happen. Got to come up with new ways. It will not happen. We need to have new ways to spread the gospel, new ideas. And you know me well as the kind of pastor that I am. I will listen to anything and I will try anything as long as it glorifies God. Amen. And so friends, as I close, I plead to you this day that together we can do something great for the Lord. Together. And this last reflection says, why to seek the lost? Why to seek the lost? On July 4th, 1854, Charlie Peace, a well-known criminal in London, was hung. The Anglican Church, which had a ceremony for everything, he even had a ceremony for hanging people. So when Charlie Peace was marched to the gallows, a priest read these words from the prayer book. Those who die without Christ experience hell, which is the pain of forever dying without the release which death itself can bring. Right? Those who die with Christ experience hell. And even though they're dead, I put it in words, even though they die, they'll never get the peace that death can bring because they die without Christ. When these chilling words were read, Charlie Peace stopped in his tracks, turned to the priest, and he shouted in his face, "Do you believe that? Do you believe that?" The priest, taken aback by the verbal assault, stammered for a moment and then said, "Well, I suppose I do." "Well, I don't," said Charlie. But he said, "But if I did, I would get down on my knees, my hands on my knees, and I would crawl all over Great Britain, even if it were paved with pieces of broken glasses, if I could rescue one person from what you just told me, I would crawl on those broken glasses to save them. If I could rescue one person," the question for us is, what about us? If we could save somebody from the damnation of hell, what will we do, church? Would we do everything to save someone from the damnation of hell? I want you to think about that. Do we believe that there's hell and there's heaven? Do we believe that we're those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, when we die, we go to heaven to live in eternity with Jesus Christ? Do we want everybody to have that? Do we want everybody to have that? Do we want to give everybody the hope of hearing Jesus, hearing that Jesus loves them? Then we should do everything we can, as Charlie Peace says, crawling on our hands and knees. That's the metaphor, physical imagery, just to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Children, the young people, through the youth group, through our music, right? Through all the things, through the preached word, through the gospel, to do everything to tell somebody about Jesus, if we really believe it to be so. Thanks be to God. Amen.